And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another woman in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, we already seen in this that this woman, the Bible says, a great wonder in heaven. Showed a beautiful woman. This wonder in heaven, as you all know, is a woman representing Israel. Under her feet is the moon, which represents the law. She is clothed with the sun, which is the gospel that she is supposed to have, and which when she received, they rejected it. And that's why God blinded their eye and turned to the Gentiles. Okay? Alright, and then we have on the ground, it says 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And there was another wonder that appeared. This was the great red dragon. And I always want to remind you, please, the word dragon does not exist in the Bible. Okay, as our mind think of dragon. Alright, in fact, this is such a common kind of a drawing that you see. So I should have, in fact, redraw this whole thing because I just picked it up at that time just to illustrate. But this is not the kind of dragon that we have. Because this is a Bible, okay? This is a Bible which is written by God, and it is not written by the English people in medieval time in the days of King Arthur, where they have all this dragon mythology, King Merlin, and whatever story that they have back in those days. Alright? And there's no such thing as a dragon with wings as well, because that's only mythology. The Bible says, as the word is used here in the Bible, a great red dragon. The word dragon comes from a dracon. And the problem is that because the stars, back in those days when the Greek the empire came into existence, there's a lot of study, a lot of philosophy about the creation of heaven and earth, and they look at the stars, and they sort of name the stars, and stick certain names to the stars, and things like that. And you see, one of the stars is called Draconis, and which means the dragon. Of course, and when they give this name, and by the time it comes to the English Empire, they use the word dragon, and the imagination of dragon as you have wings. And if you know that in Greek mythology, they already started this image of dragons with wings. And you can see in some of these Greek god and goddesses. Huh? You don't know that, don't you? They have all these Pegasus, a horse with wings too. Right? And the Bible tells us when Jesus come back with the army of white horses, they don't have wings. Because God did not create horse with wings. You understand? Horse have 4 legs, and they gallop, and they run, and they walk, and they trot. But if Christ is going to make this horse fly in the air, they don't need wings. Do you get it? So one of these days we're going to take off from the earth, we don't need wings. And that's why angels do not have wings. We don't need wings to fly. So this is all in mythology. But therefore in the Bible, the same thing, when the Bible describes about wings and all that, it means speed, movement. That's what it means. Okay, so this great dragon is actually in the Greek word, if you were to use the Hebrew Bible, it would mean to say it is a serpent. Alright, a great red serpent. And you know red represents bloody. It represents blood. Every time you see red, it represents, blood. So it is a great serpent. And he has 7 heads and 10 horns. And mind you once again that if you look at any of those theological book on the exposition of the book of Revelation, they will always draw these 10 horns all over the head. They have 7 heads, right? But 10 horns. So they don't know where to put the horn, so they put one on each horn and then left 3 others. So I don't know where they put those 3. Okay, some may have 2 horns or 3, I have no idea. But that's what you see. But the 10 horns actually appear only on one head, which you can see and understand later on in another chapter of the book of Revelation. Do you understand that? So now this serpent here is a spirit being, as I said last week or 2 weeks ago, that this is a wonder in heaven, as you say that there are spiritual, what we see are spiritual things that is happening. Do you get it? Not on the earth, but in the spirit realm. You understand that? Okay? So now, when you look at this, we understand that these seven heads of this great serpent, great bloody serpent, are seven empires. And we have dealt with that last week. The first is Egyptian, second Assyria, third is Babylonian, fourth is Middle Persia, fifth is Greece, and sixth is Roman. And that is the seventh. The seventh is Papal Rome, when papacy comes into power. Do you understand that? Okay, now, when this vision was shown to John, it shows in relationship to this woman here, Israel, is that this red serpent, which is Satan himself, using seven different empires through time to try to destroy Israel. And I said this 2 weeks ago, that reading from this text, we should know why Satan is doing that. First of all, we know that this woman represents Israel. She has the law that she must walk, right, in the fulfillment of what God desires. That you are a peculiar people. That's why to separate them, God did them and make a covenant with them. And that is the token of the foreskin. It's the right circumcision. And that's why the circumcision started. They were the only nation, the people, starting from Abraham, so to speak. He was the father of the faith. And that's what circumcision started. There were a people that were separated from the nations of the world. And it is, of course, by a token of this cutting of the foreskin, it shows they are clean. A people separated. You understand? And that it is said by even medical science that it is good that male child should be circumcised, cleaner, is medically clean. Cleaner than those who are not circumcised. So, anyway, this is what science says. Of course, God has his reason for that. Alright? So, those of you us who are not circumcised, we are unclean. And even so much so that in Africa, that even some religious tribe, they even circumcise women, which is, I think, terrible. You know, and they have all their reasons for that sort of things, you know. But God desired that just the foreskin only. And the shedding of the blood. And why is it that the circumcision of foreskin? Because we know that it is true. We know that what happened in the garden, the fall, that happened in the garden is through sex. Is that right? Isn't that right? And it through a wrong form of sex, it's not that Adam and Eve came together, but it was that the serpent seduced Eve, and therefore it was a wrong kind of union. Do you understand? This kind of union is considered unclean. And that's why Abraham made this statement that we all came into the world by the desire of our parent, sexual desire of our parent. Do you understand that? You see? And that is why God used the foreskin. Because life came through the world here through sexual reproduction. But God said to Adam, and when Adam received Eve, he said, "For this cause shall man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and then both shall be one flesh." Do you understand that? So now, this circumcision that shows the separation of a people from another. Look at us here, for example. We are Christian people. We are, I hope you are not just Christian, but born again. You understand? So when we are born again, there is a circumcision in the heart. Remember? Is that right? God give us a new heart. We are a new creation. So because of that circumcision, our old self is cut away. Right? A new heart is placed in us. A new spirit is given to us. So now we are in union with who? With the word group, with Christ Jesus. We are in union with Christ Jesus. So spiritually, do you understand that? Right enough. So it is important that our own self be cut off and left behind and move with Christ in this new life. So when we see all this, we realize that Satan already sinned from the beginning of the fall. Then when God judged the serpent, He told the serpent, I will put enmity between you and a woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now, as I said this before, that Satan is all ears. When it comes to hear what God is saying, what the prophets are saying, he is all ears to hear. You know, Satan does not know everything, huh? You understand? He is also the creature that learns. You know. And he's a good learner. The poor thing, the bad thing, the bad side about us as human collector is that we're all bad learners. We learn something today and next moment we forgot about it. Yes? Is it not true? Yes, come on, let's be honest. Alright. So, Satan, he was all ears at that time back in the garden when God passed that judgment. And he knew therefore that through a woman, they will come for the seed. They will bruise him. They will destroy him. Do you understand? So he was watching. All the journey, all he was watching until after the flood when he saw God call for Abraham. He said, I will make you a father of many nations. Right? Not just one nation, Israel, but many nations. Now you know, Satan is smart. That's why he is called the wise serpent. He heard all that being said. And he's just watching how prophecy is going to fulfill and waiting to destroy that woman's seed. Do you understand? So when the whole nation of Israel was formed, now of course God did call Abraham, promised a seed, Isaac, promised another one, the grandson, come forth, Jacob. But he was watching. But he knew that Satan knew that God's promise to Abraham was not Isaac. Do you understand? Was not Isaac. The promise was to be the Messiah. The one who is the seed of the woman, they will destroy him. So later when he was watching, came from Isaac, came from Jacob. Now Jacob had 12 sons. Then he knew that from here now, there is something going to happen. God has separated a people already, a nation already separated, and give them the law. Right? And he was watching. And so through all these years, as he watched all this, he wanted to destroy this very nation because he knew that because God has said through the prophets in the Old Testament that you are my wife. I have chosen you. You are mine. And how God is so protective of Israel. Do you realize that? Huh? You see. So, Satan, the first thing he did was to get an empire to make them slave. Make them slave to their work to death, so to speak. Destroy their morale. Destroy their faith. And that's the first empire. Then came the next one, Assyria, then came the next, Babylonian, came the Middle Persian, then came the Grecian, and finally came the Roman. In the Roman Empire, it was when Jesus was born. Right? Okay. Now, when Jesus was born and Jesus died, he died during the Roman Empire regime. The Roman Empire, under the hand of the Roman emperors. So, when he died during that time, what happened? There's only the sixth head. What happened to the seventh? The seventh has not yet come to destroy Israel. But in part we see prophecy as in the Holocaust, for example, during the Second World War. We know that behind the German desire to conquer Europe was this this manipulator. Right? The Catholic Church. You see. But the Catholic Church wasn't yet as an empire by itself. Do you understand that? Yes, you can say in the Dark Ages, the Holy Roman Empire exists. But you know, during the time of the Holy Roman Empire, papacy wasn't going all out to destroy Israel. They were all going all out to keep the word of God from the people, the common people. Do you understand that? This picture that we see here, or this chapter 12, about this woman that appeared to John as a vision in the heaven, and also this great dragon, shows a relationship between Israel and Satan's working against her. Totally. All this is a picture totally of Israel and Satan's work. Do you understand that? But in another vision, where we see the first beast that rises out of the sea, that is another approach. The vision that was shown to John is approached from a different angle. That's not why we see visions are in parts many times. We go over to the book of Daniel, we see how the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, this colossus, right? There are only four parts. You see? But here we see here there are seven heads. But back then in four parts. Why? It doesn't show the first one, two, three. I mean the first Egyptian doesn't show the Assyrian. Right? It shows Babylonian, Persia. Right, Grecian, and then finally those cantos. What will happen right in the end? So vision must be looked at in its own context and placed with other visions in the right, properly, rightly divided and put in the right place. Okay, so now we look at this. It says here that this dragon was waiting to devour the child. So it was just waiting. One head after another, they are just waiting. Right? And it was through the Roman and the sixth head that Satan was able to try to devour the child. And we read here that in verse 5. And she brought forth the man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. We know that when Jesus was born, he wasn't immediately caught up. That's not. He lived through his childhood, became a man, right? Fulfilled his ministry, and then he died, and then he was up to heaven. Means he resurrected and ascended to heaven. So when we read that, don't have any imagination that it has anything to do with immediate transportation. Okay? Now here for a moment, I want to say something here. If you look at this verse here, in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. I believe I have touched on this, but again, just to recall. If you go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, and verse 8. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 8. I want to show you, and because, as I said, when God hears certain words, we want to really differentiate how the words are used. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 8. But if thou would go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. Now, if you read verse 4 of Revelation chapter 12, it says here, his tail to draw the third part of the star of heaven and be cast them to the earth. The word cast cast out, cast down are two different expressions. Now you hear, you read in 2 Chronicles 25 verse 8. God can help and God can cast down, right? Now the word cast down means to make the person low down and destroy. Okay? Cast out means to throw out of their rightful place. In other words, you can go to 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. For if God spare not the angel that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into the chain of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. You see the word cast down? Cast down means put them to debase them and then destroy them under judgment. Cast out doesn't mean that they are destroyed. Okay, let us go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Right? You see here in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Though we are cast down, but we are not destroyed. We are cast down by Satan. We are cast down by people. They try to destroy us, but yet we are not destroyed. Do you understand the word here? For when God casts down, it means it's final. People may cast us down, make us really go down. But God will be there to help us. We will not be destroyed. So, that is the thing I want you to know. Now, we know that Satan and his whole of angel is cast out of heaven. Some of them are cast down and locked up. Okay? But not all are cast down yet. So here we read that Satan took a third part of the angel of heaven, and God cast them out of heaven. So they lost their estate. They're cast out of the heaven, their heavenly place, their position. You understand? You get it? Alright. And the dragon stood before the woman who were ready to be delivered for to devour the child as soon as it was born. Now we read verse 5 now. And she brought forth a man child who was to deliver, or who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. When Jesus grew up, he fulfilled all his work. He accomplished the redemptive work that God had given him to do. And after that, he died at Calvary. And then he was resurrected and then ascended to heaven. Now, look into the verse of the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Remember that the children of Israel, as I said, these all deal with the children of Israel. Chapter 12 deal with the children of Israel. It has nothing to do with us until except for the last verse. Now in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 6 to 8 it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. The children of Israel desire, they're always looking for the nation, their own kingdom, because the prophets prophesied about it. And so when Jesus came, well, they thought that Jesus God will restore the kingdom to them very soon. And that's what there was on their mind. But they didn't realize that God had allocated a time for the preaching of the gospel. And that Jesus Christ will finish the work and then he will be caught up into the heaven. Now go to the book of Acts chapter 3 verse 18 to 21. Acts chapter 3 verse 18 to 21. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, the time of the restitution of all things. This word in the book of Acts have created different kinds of doctrine. As I said this before, one of the doctrine is they have been taught for many, many years now, I think in the early 20th century or so, because why a lot of things happened in the early 20th century, because that's when the Holy Ghost was poured out and what we call modern day Pentecost experience. And then with that, people come up with very strange doctrine, besides of course all that what we call phenomenon of speaking in tongues, making the tongue speaking as the evidence of the Holy Ghost, of receiving the Holy Spirit. Without speaking in tongues, you do not have the Holy Ghost. So this restitution of all things, this phrase, create a doctrine that believe, that causes theologians and pastors and preachers to teach that Jesus Christ is going to restore everything that exists back on this earth when he comes back. The restitution of all things. Now, as I said this before, synotoke in language, all does not mean all. Right? All has not been all, but there's all as in all, without exception. So that is very very strange interpretation. I don't blame them because, after all, without the Holy Spirit, baptism truly without the Holy Ghost baptism, we can't really understand the Bible. And if we don't understand the Bible, the best thing is to live it. What we don't understand, and let the Lord reveal in His own time. And don't try to figure that out and make ourselves, or tie ourselves into a knot. Now, these people that believe the restitution of all things, Christ is going to restore everything back. God is going to restore everything back to life. That is the serpent that died. He's going to come back. And my friend Peter Ong, he's one of them who believed that. You know, after he left this message, he went to the bookshop and wherever he got all the strange books that he got, you know, and believed. And he told me that the earth is a young earth, 6,000 years old, and he still believed that. That this earth is only 6,000 years ago. It came into existence. You know. And that he believed also the restitution of all things. Until I asked him a question, he couldn't understand it, so he abandoned that doctrine. You know. So he believed that everything must come back. The serpent will come back. The original serpent will come back. Every animal that died will come back. Do you understand? And that's so much so that, as I said, every chicken that you eat will come back. Every duck that you eat come back. Every pig that you slaughter comes back. There's no room on this earth. 6,000 years ago, count how many pig by then you have eaten. How many chicken have you eaten? They're all around us. There's no space on us. You know, that's the thing about it, because the word all, he is inclusive. Do you understand that? And restoration of all things. But that's not what the Bible said, the restoration of all things. What is it all about? When Christ told the disciples, Luke wrote that, and what Peter spoke, what the apostle spoke, regarding that Christ must remain in heaven until the restitution of all things. So what is this restitution of all things? In the end, our message. Oh, the restitution of all things. What is that? All the doctrines. Everything, Brother Branham, everything that's in the Bible, Brother Branham brought it all, revealed it all. So everything restored. Is that what it means? And you know that some Branham minds believe in that. Brother Branham already restored everything. All mysteries are revealed. There's no more mystery. No more mystery. No more revelation to be revealed. It's all in the book. It's all in the tapes. So what is this restoration? Is that what it is? Remember, this is dealing with Israel. The gospel here. This is Acts chapter 3. Right? Okay, look at Acts chapter 3. Tell me why the book of Acts did the... from chapter 1 to chapter 3. Were there any... Gentiles saved yet? Huh? It's all about Israel. The gospel was given to Israel and the apostles were preaching to the Jews. This is only chapter 3. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Only chapter 3. Paul wasn't even around. Right? The gospel wasn't... Were not even yet given to the Jew, I mean to the Gentiles. And Peter is saying that Christ will be in heaven until the restoration of all things back to who? Israel. Do you understand? What the prophet prophesied of in the Old Testament, what the laws speak of concerning Israel, the whole thing must be restored back. They understand it. Then Christ will come back and set up a kingdom. Remember Jesus, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. Remember they asked him, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, and he taught them how to pray. He said, saying, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so on. Sure. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What God already foreknown or decreed, right? It must all come to pass. As concerning the people of Israel, because they were the chosen one, have God forsaken Israel? Never. The Bible says God can never forsake Israel. You have forsaken me, but I've never forsaken you, said God. Do you see that? So, all that which Israel have lost. Because when the Messiah came, they couldn't accept it. They couldn't accept the gospel. Except for, well, several, I don't know how many times of thousands, they believe. And they could not accept the grace of God in full. They wanted to have, then you need to be circumcised. Remember? They're still thinking of circumcision. Remember how they saw this Pharisaical Jew that were converted? They went out there in the Galatia and all these other city out there in the Asia Minor and told the Gentiles, you need to be circumcised. And Paul came along and says, to the Galatians, who have bewitched you? And you so soon depart from the faith. Huh? It is no problem for all Jews, definitely all the Jews, they are circumcised. When they are born on the 8th day, they will have to be circumcised, right? But you tell it to the Gentiles. Already, what happened in the first council? In Jerusalem. They even do away with circumcision, right? But you know, as year passed by, those original 12, well, not Judas Iscariot, but Matthias included, they get older and older. Right? And here we are Paul on the scene. But those from Jerusalem, they get older and older and older. And then, of course, there are Jews that were converted. And many of them, perhaps, like these Pharisees that were converted, they still said, the gospel going to the Gentiles, they need to be circumcised. No, it's just like this entire message. Do you believe Malachi 4, 5, and 6? You know, sometimes they like to push some of this doctrine. Do you believe the program is the messenger of this age? So if you say, I don't believe, so what? They have to force you to believe. Do you believe Micah 4:5 says, do you believe in Luke 17:30? Do you believe Robinson 10:7? That's all Brother Abraham. Do you believe that was Brother Abraham? So what if I don't have to believe? Do I have to believe to be saved? It's all about Brother Branham. It's not about Brother Branham. Even as what Paul said to those Jews, you are still thinking of Jesus, okay, but you are thinking of Jesus after the man, the flesh. We see Jesus no more in the flesh. We know him no more in the flesh, but we see Jesus. Right? Now, we all don't know Jesus in the flesh, do we? Have you met Jesus in the flesh? No, but none of us, because that was how many years ago, 2,000 years ago. We don't know Jesus in the flesh, but we see Jesus. Is that right? We understand it because we have the revelation. It's still a different thing altogether. I'm glad I do not know Brother Branham, you know. Those people who know Brother Branham, you know, some people brag about their own pastor who have been with Brother Branham. Hey, I tell you, my brother, my pastor is a true witness. True witness. Because he was with Brother Branham, eating with him, goes shooting bears or deers with him, and went up camping with him, sit in the same restaurant with him. He's a true witness of what happened. Really? A true witness? Look at even the apostle. I mean the disciple. They were with Jesus for 3.5 years. Or not all of them, huh? Some of them will call later after a few months. They will be with Jesus. That's 3 years. They walk with him, right? Yeah. They practically spend a lot of time with him. But once in a while when Peter and James and John, they go out there fishing. You know, and Jesus come by from his, you know, from his place and saw them fishing and they say, hi, Lord, how are you? Rabbi, and whatever. And then, oh, wait a minute, we're coming down, we're going to land our boat and let's go have fellowship. Did Jesus stand by them waiting with them? Yeah, they go fellowship. Whatever fish they have, maybe they barbecue some of them and eat and talk and fellowship, right? Peter said, you know, I was with Jesus Christ camping with him, eating fish. I mean, all this brag about you have been with the man. But the question, do you know the man? Look at Judas Iscariot. He knows Jesus by the flesh, in the flesh, but did he know Jesus in the spirit? Did he know who Jesus was? No. Right? All he cared about was, oh, this man could do miracles. He even gave me the power to heal the sick and cast out demons. Remember that? But he didn't brag about it. And even the night when Jesus was betrayed and was taken to the patrol, the disciples were all afraid. Right? They were all scattered. Despite the shepherd, the sheep were scattered. And over them, they said, hey, you are one of them. No, I'm not one of them. No, you're mistaken. Your accent, you are a Galilean. You speak like a Galilean. And all the disciples of Jesus, you're all Galilean. You cannot know, hey, you're one of them. No. True weakness. What is a true weakness? True weakness of what? of the life, the spiritual life. So a lot of people say, oh, it's with Brother Brandis, and that's no big deal. Because why? They always say, Brother Bram said, he did this, he did that. It is not what Brother Bram said, what he did. It is what Jesus did. There's a song that I heard, and I like it. It's all about Jesus Christ. And the singer said, the song said, it is not what he did, but who he is. Very different. Oh, Jesus did this for me, Jesus did that for me. He can do this, he can do that. Good! But what will you do with him? Don't you know a lot of people can come to the prayer line and get healed? Huh? Remember? But when they go through a hard time of tribulation and trial, they know who Jesus is. He's the same Lord! Yesterday, today, and forever. He remained the same. The same Lord. It's who he is. It's not what he has done. Right? We always think about what the Lord done for us. We say, yeah, we thank God for that. But remember, he is Lord. There is no other one. Right? He's the Lord. There's no other one. Is he the Lord of your life? That is the question God has asked. So this passage here in chapter Acts deals with Israel until the prophet comes, until the two prophets come. And that will be the first half of the 70th week of Daniel. When they were preached and demonstrated and wake up the 144,000, and Israel will be watching, the whole world will be watching. Not only Israel, in Israel, but in Israel, out there, scattered out there, over the world, since the diaspora, What is the population today of Israel? Out there in Israel, what's the population? It's about 5 million. What's the population of the whole of, what's the population of Jews around the world, collectively? 14 million. What about? There are not many people. 14 million. About 5 million in Israel. America has the largest next to of Jews there. I think 6.8 million. Now, when the two witnesses come upon the scene, now they are not going to America, you know. They're not going to America! Because what? God has taken the gospel back to Israel. That's where he is going to demonstrate his power. He's going to call Israel to attention. To let them know, I'm putting back everything that you have forsaken. Right? I'm going to restore all that back to you to understand. So the two witnesses will come and they will preach. They will condemn sins and all, and we can see later on in our next study about the three trumpets. What were the demonstration thing that they performed? Now when Israel saw what they were doing, the 144,000 they were to be sealed, saw all these two men demonstrate the miracle, doing all that, calling for rain, stopping the rain, turning water to blood, and the sea turned into red. All these demonstrations. You know? So what is going to happen? The 144,000 will wake up. Now they know that the Messiah had come and gone for the last 2,000 years because his ancestors, they all rejected him. And the woman Israel would be quickened also to know. You understand? But until all these things must come to pass, until Israel passed through Jacob's trouble, until Israel, a God created Israel's trouble, Christ will not return back. So he said, 7 years. So I want you to know that the time of restoration of all things. Alright? It's coming for Israel. Do you know that? It's coming for Israel. And what time are we now? What time are we in? Now let's continue with the next verse of Revelation chapter 12. Verse 6. And a woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed. That they should feed her there 1,260 days. It is 2.5 years. When the two witnesses, that's what it's like, when the two witnesses came upon the scene, and they preached 1,260 days. 2.5 years. Time, times, and half time. Or 42 months. 1,260 days is all together. They're all together the same. 2.5 years. Now when the two witnesses preach for prophesy for 3.5 years, they'll be killed in the middle of the week. Alright? This 3.5 years, what they preach was still 144,000. 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. Of the 12 tribes altogether, 12 times 12, 1,200 of each tribe, times 12, 144,000. They will be sealed by God, and there's no way that they can be killed. They are protected by God's hand. Somebody said, what if I take a gun and aim at one of them and shoot? Remember God's angel are watching. Huh? Because we are living in the last thing. Now, you know what? Now, we are mortal men. And this mind of ours, we always like to imagine things. We like to think of ourselves, all sorts of things going through our mind. And I said this before, and I think that you all should agree. That if you have the power, a certain power that you have, that you can do, you would like to do it for good, right? Wouldn't it? Let's say you go on the road and you see somebody being bullied. And if a certain power to deal with the guy, you would do it, right? Wouldn't you? Would you not? Yes? Yeah. Maybe we have telepathy, you know, power. If somebody does something bad, you just look at him. And the guy head will shake, and then got something that fall down on the floor. So wonder what's happening. Or then he's slept with his own himself, you know? They wonder what's happening. I mean, if you have the power, you want to deal with it. You want to deal with this kind of a hurt to them, you know? We all don't like people misbehaving. Not if you see that somebody, you're walking behind somebody and he's like, ah, man, there's a spit on the floor. Then you have the power, the spit went back to his own power. Or something like that. You just want to deal with it. If you have the power, you just want to deal with it. And that's, you know, why God cannot give us power, you know? Because we all do all, you're out of control. I can tell you that. You'd be out of control. And he will just say, Lord, why can't we do something? Look what's happening. Look at all this killing. This, you know, the killing of people out there in Africa is so common. Why can't you do something? This suicide bombers, bombing innocent people. Why can't you do something? God can do a lot of things. But it doesn't matter. You see, God always sets things in motion. Let everything run its own course. People have to die. Sure. People will die. You see that, as I said, I get emails from pastors that are opening a priest that lost $1,000. This little boy, he's in a bad accident. He needs surgery. He's dying of this. Another one will ask the same. So everybody, if they have something going on in their family or in the church, because someone is in hospital and in operation, goodness me, if I have 100 churches writing me
an email saying, asking me to send $1,000, that is $100,000. And where did I get $100,000? Right? Right on there. Just look to God and see what God's purpose is. Please do something, Brother Gam. Why am I going to do? I always say, Lord, look at this. Why can't you do something? Right? We want God to do something. Look at a poor boy. He's 5 years old, 6 years old. Oh, he's in great pain. You know, when we grow old, people grow old. See a man is in pain. Oh, it's okay, he's an adult. But when you see a little boy, a little girl, you feel your heart like going out. Huh? Right? You see an old lady walking out, composing. You know? You just want to make sure that she doesn't fall. Right? So, what are we supposed to do? When we look into the scriptures here, all of these things that is going to happen out there, very soon to come, people will die. Lots of people will die. So when the Antichrist break the covenant in the middle of the week, why did he break the covenant? Because he got very upset with these two guys. The spirit of Elijah and Moses, our God has such a powerful ministry and demonstration that condemns the Vatican. The Vatican cannot tolerate. Today, of course, you got a nice Pope. Some of them could, yeah. If you look into the history of the Pope, some of them are really wicked. You all know that, don't you? Have you ever read the history of the Pope or papacy? Some are nice Pope. Some Pope are so terrible. They kill and they kill. They will even kill. There are competition, when one Pope is dying, there are always competition. We have all those other Monsignor, Cardinal who might take the place. They will kill each other by poison. Of course, this present Pope is very nice. Right? And you know Malachi Martin's prophecy. And this one looks old and he's going. Right? Yeah. So next one going to come. What do you think he will be? He may act nice, you know, just to have peace. He will smile when you curse him. He will smile. But when it comes to these two witnesses testifying against them, prophesying against them, that's too much. And so you break the covenant. And then he will go on a rampage against Israel. So verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she would have a place prepared that she should feed and that they should feed her 1,203 days. So now, the Bible here says the woman represents Israel, we know. It's not fled into the wilderness. The word wilderness here, when we look at this verse here, I want to look at the wilderness is a place that is considered wild. You have to hunt for your food, that sort of thing. No shelter, you have to go look for your own shelter, that sort of thing, right? So now, the wilderness here is not a place, not a specific place. Now, as the American was saying, like you sometimes, you know, you hear this expression, hey, don't go out there. It's a jungle out there. You know, don't go out to the street. Like, if you're in New York or Chicago or something like that, you don't want to go out there alone, huh? Especially when the night, when the sunset, don't go out there, it's a jungle out there. What's a jungle out there? What do you mean by a jungle out there? It means it's wild place. At night, all those, hooligans will come out and to mock you or to steal a thing or beat you up. You see. So the whole world, actually, we look at the whole world today. It's a wilderness. It's wild.
in a way, because I'm a spiritual, as I said, of a spiritual thing. So Israel, when the Antichrist come against Israel, the woman Israel will run. They have to run somewhere. They are out there in Israel. They have to run. Any country, you have to find a place. A country where there is not safe. I don't know about the Philippines. Now, Philippines, being that it is a Catholic country, right? But you don't have many Jews there. You don't have many Jews there. But not only that, they will not only for the Jews, but they are also attacking the Christians. Any country where there is a lot of Jews, whether they have... Oh, remember that, how many of you watched the movie, The Fiddler on the Roof? Remember about the story out there in Russia? Yes. Right? You see. So you will have a country where a lot of Jews habited, you know, have the habitation, then you have a Catholic power. Whether it is with the politics or whatever it is, they could use that machinery, the system, to go after the Jew. So the Jew will be scattered as a woman, as a nation, they will be running out somewhere to hide. And you will go to a certain country where the country will open up to receive you. Like during the time of the Second World War. Remember that many countries out there in Europe, Gentiles actually keep those Jews safe in their home from the German. You know. So that's the Holocaust. Those days there was a time of great tribulation for the Jew. But it's going to happen again. And this time, oh man, you get a lot of people who are Jews hater. Right? Look at those extremists out there. What do you call the Jamaat Islamiyah, and you have the Hamas, right? You have the Hezbollah. They hate the Jew. Many of them just hate the Jew. Not all Arabs are bad. Huh? It's just those who are extremists. They have all kind of ideology about Israel should be driven into the sea. Like Ahmad Minhaj. You know how that he hated them. Right? You see. So he's going to drive them into the sea. So you just imagine right now the Jew is in a very bad shape. Very bad situation. Because as the Bible says, they are going to go to Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Oh, if Jacob's alive, I tell you he will weep. Because it's going to be terrible. It will be a time of great disaster, persecutions. So they will run out there somewhere, and country they will receive them, they will protect them. Huh? Today's paper, I read, Hillary Clinton wasn't happy with Israel. Because Benjamin Netanyahu, he is not going to be pushed around. They keep building the settlement out there. That's our land! Don't tell me that I cannot build settlement! Hillary Clinton said, that's no good, you're causing trouble. It's supposed to be peace! Then suddenly, the Bible said, then sudden destruction will come. Oh yeah. People keep on telling Israel, give up the land. God already told Israel, this is my land. You're dividing the land, giving this part to Hezbollah, dividing the land, giving this part to Hamas. This is my land! You know, Israel have fought very hard all those years. They're trying to be peaceful, loving people. I can tell you, the world will be in a very bad shape if Israel was not around. You think about it. Do you ever know? The people don't realize that the whole world is, you know, going on nicely. It's because of the Jew. Remove the Jew, you have nothing. Don't believe me? You don't have a computer. Your airplane will not even exist. So, but there's American Jew! Who's behind Google? Who's behind Facebook? Think about it. Everything that you have, practically, was built by the Jew. Huh? When there is a disaster in the world, remember that tsunami? Okay. Think about any disaster, the Jew will be there first to help. You think about it, isn't there extremists? Terrorists, they will do it. You think the UN will do it? They will be dragging their feet. Come on, come on. Israel, no. Anything happened, they'll be the first. Pack, they go. Enemy or no enemy, they are human. You see all the news. Every time there is a little bell and all this, everything is Israel's fault. Everything is Israel's fault. The media has lied to the world. So don't read whatever you read in the paper. Don't believe everything that you believe or you hear on the BBC or CNN or Fox News and all this. Lots of them are always very anti-Israel. That's the truth. You know, when the rocket went over to Hamas or the Hezbollah, and the little child happened to get a little in the way, it's a big news. Hezbollah was sending the rocket. Remember why they threw the rocket recently? Tel Aviv, school children, school buses. And Hezbollah, Hamas, they'll put the children before them. And they'll hold a launcher. Israel cannot attack because of the children. But they don't care. What is pure religion? Remember we talk about pure religion? What is true religion? You know, we should love people, love mankind. But no, people just hate. You just hate the Jew. Oh my. You know, I see people, you know, sometimes you see all these extremists, all this extremist religion. You know, in the Middle East, you go down there, you see how the women were oppressed. Huh? They wear the bakwa, what that? Whatever you call that things, only the window. Only have a window here. And it's a mess that you can't even see the eye. Everything is so covered up, except for the hands. And except for the fingers. And the women are oppressed. And you pity this kind of a teaching. God has created a woman a face. Oh, but it's only for the husband. You see, it's only for the husband to look at. Why is it only coming from? So Israel is going to suffer. But for the 1260 days, the second half of the 70th week of Daniel, nation will protect them. Alright, this is a great tribal time of Jacob's trouble. They will be protected. Women, children, young and old, babies and whatever, they will be kept alive during these 1260 days. So that when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation and set up the kingdom for Israel, Israel will have his own people. They will repopulate Israel again. So there will be women alive, men alive, baby, children, they will all be kept alive. And there will be a nation, a kingdom for 1,000 years in the millennium after Christ come back. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Micah and his angel fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast up, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast up into the earth. And his angel was cast up with him. Now there was war in heaven already. And we have said this way back. Now, there's still war in heaven here. The heaven means what? We're not talking about. There are three heavens. This, the first heaven. The second heaven, the space out there. Where the stars are. The planets are. The third heaven is where God is. So when the Bible said there's war in heaven, it's talking about this space. Remember, the angels are here. Angels are fighting among themselves, the good and the bad, one against the other. So there is war in heaven. Micah and his angels fought against the dragon. Talking about this serpent, alright? And he fought and the joint fought against his, and prevailed not.
You remember what the Michael, you see what Michael here we deal with last Friday?
There's nothing mentioned here. There's no Gabriel here. Michael always stands for the people of God, Israel, especially. Huh? Because why? Satan wanted to destroy Israel, remember? To divide the church, and so they would have no Messiah. So there have been wars since then. Been fighting all those centuries. Until today they are still fighting. Alright? And they prevail not. In other words, their place how many more in heaven, because they have already fallen off their estate. They cannot go back to heaven. No fallen angel have access to heaven. They can't go back to where their estate was. No way, no access. Do you know what? Like, for example, like in the church, what the Bible talks about excommunication. When a brother or a sister misbehaved to a certain extent that you need to give warning one, twice, the third time, throw him out. When you cast him out, he cannot come back anymore. Cast him out, he can't come back. You get it? And so Satan and his angels were cast out and they could not come back. Okay? So we know that, of course, until the time comes in the book of Ezekiel, verse 20, chapter 28. Let's go to that. Ezekiel chapter 28. And we read here in this chapter, he talks about Lucifer and his mistake that he made. And you read over in verse 17. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupt thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before king, that they may behold thee. I will cast thee to the ground. He will be cast up. He already cast up, but he will be cast to the ground and he will be judged. And that time is coming. Okay? Alright. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Now he is cast down to where he will incarnate. He will incarnate himself into the Pope. You understand? And that's when God will judge him. He knows that he has but a short time, 1260 days. Right? And then he will be taken and judged. Cause him to lick a fire. You know, the devil knows full well his time. That's why he's doing all that he's doing today. He said, the accuser of our brethren. Accuser of our brethren. You know that we are still related to Israel. Right? By what time? By the gospel. By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Messiah. Okay? So he'll be cast on the earth and be incarnate a man of sin. Now it says that those in heaven rejoice. But those on earth is a different thing. Because when he is incarnate, when he incarnates himself into the Pope, there will be a lot of persecution and wrath. Verse 13 and 14, 15. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. You see that this is going back retrospective, huh? Go back. Because when he was cast out of heaven, that's when he went and attacked this Israel. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for the time, times, and half a time. On the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Remember we read earlier in verse 6 that the woman fled into the wilderness? Yeah. And this is here, give a better understanding, a little bit more. So, when the dragon saw that he was cast off the door, he persecuted the woman. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Now, of course, these pictures, don't go and expect that Israel, as a nation, will have wings. But these two wings of an eagle, it speaks of what? The two prophets' message. Right? Remember, God is Jehovah, and He is also typed as an eagle. Jehovah Eagle. Remember? And you are eagles, or eaglets, or eagle. Understand? The message of the two prophets is the gospel of Jesus Christ telling the Jews, telling Israel to repent, revealing the name of the Messiah to them. And you know what we read already in the news about this rabbi who, before he died, he told his son that he was visited by the Messiah. And he wrote the name of the Messiah. Yes, you all know, remember that? You see? And so, when he died, they opened up and the word said, Yehoshua, the name of the Messiah. And this woman, you can see that Israel is suddenly coming up of their slumbering. You know. So when the two prophets come, they're going to emphasize who the Messiah is. That they will wake up to know that the Messiah was none other than Yahshua HaMashiach. The one that they have crucified, the one that their forefather has rejected. And that's why they are going into the trouble with God, because the prophet in Old Testament show them how rebellious of people Israel have been. Time and time again God sent them prophets. They listened, they prospered, they were happy. After a while, they started to kill the prophet. They repeat often until God got tired of them. Set them up to be slaves under the captivity of the Assyrian Empire. And also under the Babylonian. Then God brought them back to Israel again. The same thing when it happened when they reject the Messiah. And what did the Jews say? Oh, what a proud people sometimes. Let His blood be upon us and upon our children and our children's children. Right? God says, okay. Some of the 80, they were dispersed. Get all over the world. There was no Israel, no more nation for them. There was no piece of land for them. The land that God gave them was Israel, Canaan land. Remember? It's all gone. Who came over there? The Turks, the barbarians, the Romans. All kinds of people lived there. And the land became a wilderness. God promised, I'll bring you back. When they were brought back in 1948, the land prospered. God promised that I'll make the land blossom like a rose. It did. And yet the people still do not know the Messiah. But the people that they are those that are, they are the wise one. They are the one who is seeking for truth, the true worshipper. They got it. Some of them are coming to realize that. But it takes a true prophet to wake them up. And they would. By the time when they realize it, the Antichrist says, I have enough of them. But they are not having the gospel. When the Antichrist come against them, the prophet's message will give them the strength. You understand? You know when you talk about the expression of an eagle's wing. When you are down and out, you don't have strength to fly. Right? You don't have the strength to overcome. To fly over the mountain, fly over the hills, over the valley. But the word of the Lord will give you that strength. In time to come, and now you are down and out, you remember the gospel. You remember the truth. See? Right? And you will fly and overcome. he says here, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. Now the serpent, then said, Satan would then send forth a flood, or we call an army, an attack, a war against them. He will go out there against them. And so when he goes out, the Bible here said that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. That means they will destroy them. Now, is that, in verse 40, is it time, times, and half time means time is one, times is two, half a time is half a time. So, 3.5 times means 3.5 years. Okay? For the next 3.5 years, the second half, there's something with Daniel. Okay, now, in that we see here, it says that the woman was given two wings. When would they be able to fly? When would they fly? How would they know this? When to run? When to flee? Remember that Jesus Christ told the disciples about Jerusalem will be destroyed. So when you see this abomination come to pass, alright? Those that are in the city, get out! Alright? Those that are outside, don't go back and take your belongings. Just run! When you see this abomination come, how would they know? Because they're looking at the prophecy of Christ when that signified that Prince Titus, the Roman army coming down to Jerusalem. Jesus said that Jerusalem will be trodden down. You understand? And the temple will be destroyed. So when those Jews were out there in the field working, or those who were in the housetop putting the laundry out for the sun to dry, when they see the army coming, what would they do? Those in the field, they ran. Those up there on the rooftop or in the city when you hear the news, immediately they ran out of the city gate and out and away. Because when the army came down, they encompassed the whole of the city, that no Jew would come out, be able to get out. So that is when they know. Now how would they know here now, in this moment, how would they know where to flee? So when the two prophets, when they will be killed, when the two prophets are killed, then the time for them to go. Time to run! Because they should know by then what the prophets, when they read the Bible, they will have known. Because the prophet, when they preach and all these things, they will refer to the Bible, they will refer to the scripture. They refer to the prophets, to what they have in the New Testament, even so. They have to wake up. When they see the two witnesses being killed, they ran. You understand that? Alright? Or else they'll be trapped. And of course, some would die. Okay? Now, verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Remember that this woman ran to the wilderness? The wilderness out there in the world. Wherever which nation will keep her. And this nation will prevent, will try to protect them from the flood, the onslaught, or the army that will come against the Jew. Alright? Verse 17. Remember this earth opening up is not an earthquake. Huh? You understand? Okay? It might be that the earthquake swallow up the army rather than the woman. If there will be, because there will be a lot of signs that will happen during the Great Tribulation. Alright? Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So now they went out there, the woman would be saved, but the Antichrist would turn to fight against the remnant of her seed. Watch here, it says, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The remnant of the woman's seed. Do you believe that we all came from the woman's seed too? Is it not? Yes or no?
Who is the sea? Who is the sea? Christ Jesus, right?
Isn't it right?
Yes.
It is from Israel that we receive the oracles that God gave to Israel. So now that Antiochus could not get the woman, could not get Israel, whoever is tied to her, whoever, anyone with a relationship with the woman's seed, Antichrist will go after them. Whoever the remnant of the Jew be, those who are tied to Israel like Christian, they will come after you. And that's why the Bible talks about the foolish virgin. They'll be affected by the Antichrist. Now he says here, the testimony of Jesus, he says here, of course, the verse here says, those that keep the commandments, that is the Jew. The Jew keeps the commandments. And the other one is, they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The other group is the Christian group. So there are two groups. They are tied to the woman's seat, right? Okay. Alright. And let's just close up with chapter 50. Verse 2 to 4. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for the judgment are made manifest. So you can see here that in this chapter here, 15, that there is a sea of glass mingled with fire before the throne, and it says that they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, right? That are the Jew. Okay? And the other one, the song of the Lamb, there will be the Christian. So these are the group that pass through the tribulation and give their life. Chapter 20, verse 4, last verse. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So, you can see here again, there are two groups of people. They will be here for the weak one, alright, for the witness of Jesus, and the one for the word of God. Those that have not worshipped the beast. So there will be tribulation saints. Lots of them. And certainly I don't believe that any one of you here would want it to be one of them. So as we see the day of Christ fast approaching, knowing that what we see right now in the Middle East, what's going on, people have been asking me for again, is this UN voting in the Palestinian, a Palestinian state? Is it going to gear up for the battle of Ezekiel 38-39? And I said, yes and no. Yes, it is because it is part of the whole. No, it is not because it is not the only one that was that will cause the Ezekiel 38-39 war. But things are building up. And we are approaching that time when we are going to see, I believe, perhaps, in another, how many years? 5 years? We don't want to enter into the 70th week of Daniel. Because by then, that will be, if we, if God keep his table, timetable like we expect him to, looking at it, 48, 1948 until another 70 years to that will bring us to 2017. Right? And that generation would have been over. Because over in the Bible we know that a generation means the people of that generation. It will not pass away. And 70 years seem to be a generation in the Bible. Very commonly the word 70. 70 years is what we see. And so if it is, then we are not far from going home. You looking forward to it?
Amen.
Amen. God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Keep us, Lord, in thy word. We thank you for truth. We thank you, Father, for showing us your plan, your purpose, and the word of life, Father. Grant us the strength of eagles, Lord, to fly. We know the world is not what it is today. Lots of problems. Every time we turn on the news, or every time we turn to a paper, we see, Lord, reports of wars and disasters, earthquakes, floodings and droughts. We know that mankind have destroyed this earth. And what man sowed, so man reaped, Lord. But Lord, when we see this sign come to pass, we know these are signs that fulfill your prophetic words. And therefore let us rejoice even though we see these problems in life facing the world. But we rejoice because we know that we are near the end of time. And that Christ Jesus our Lord is returning to this earth and set up his kingdom. Father, we ask for your grace and bless us, Lord, as we live the life of Christ. Be with us in our ups and our downs, because we commit all things to you, Father, in Jesus' name.